Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. Welcome this morning to you. If you're new to the fellowship, we welcome you this morning. Probably someone's invited you, said come along to church this morning. Maybe you've been to other churches, maybe you've never been. But I pray that you're encouraged this morning as we worship God this morning, as we're going to spend some time reading God's word and be encouraged in the word of God. I don't think there's many people in this room that don't want to continue to grow in their faith. I don't think there'd be too many people in this room that would say to me or to anybody, I'm done growing in my faith. That's it. No more growing to do. I don't want to grow anymore. I don't want to mature in my faith anymore. I'm happy to stay as I am. I don't think there'd be too many people in this room that would say they don't want to continue to grow and mature in their faith. Because that's what we do. That's what we do. We come to listen to God's word. We come to worship because we don't want to just stop growing in our faith. We don't want to just become people who are, you know, become complacent as to where we are. You know, we want to be people who continue, as the Bible says, God calls us to be holy as he is holy. And so when we talk about growth as Christians, when we talk about growing and maturing as Christians, we're talking about something that is inseparable to the holiness of God. You cannot separate that to wanting to become more and more like the character of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And so that's what we're here to do. We continue to do. So every day we are deliberate and determined to want to continue to grow, to become more like the character of Christ. And I pray this morning that you're encouraged to do that. And that if you have been a little bit like, oh, I'm okay where I am, or a little bit complacent, or not determined every day to continue to grow into the image of Christ, then I pray today is the day that you are woken up to say, I can't just do that. I can't just sit complacent and become, you know, not become mature in my faith, but rather I want to become more and more the person that God has called me to be in Christ. And I think that's really, really important. So let's pray this morning. Then we'll open up God's word and have a read and work. And just I want to share some thoughts with you this morning about God's work in us and for us as we continue to build on the foundation that He has established for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every person that is here this morning that is ready to open their hearts and minds to your word. We thank you for the worship that we can worship you and sing song to you and glorify you through the things that we say and do. Father, this morning we pray the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, and that your Holy Spirit may take your word and do what it accomplished, what it accomplishes and wants to do. Father in heaven, may we be people who continue to want to grow and be more and more like your Son in every way and in everything. We commit this time to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's a little bit different. I know we've been spending a lot of weeks on looking at the name of God and the statements of Christ, and sort of a few weeks ago, I think it was now, I've kind of wrapped that up and we finished that. So today I just want to talk about something just as a kind of a one-off thing with you, some thoughts and some reflections based on what you heard last week, especially from our brother as he shared with you the testimony of his father, which was beautiful, wasn't it? You know, the testimony of his father. And I wanted to share with you a little bit more along these lines. So there isn't sort of one particular passage that I want to read from this morning, but we will read from, and I would like you to read with me soon, we'll get to it, from Matthew chapter 7. So you can open up Matthew chapter 7. One of the New Testament writers, as he wrote, you know, writes his book, and one of the gospel writers. And so we're going to read just a short passage from Matthew in a little while. And then I want to share with you some different verses and different thoughts with you this morning. I think sometimes it's good for us to remember that as Christians and as people who are following the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than becoming so self-consumed with an idea that, you know, we are at the center of this this universe, as individuals, and somehow everything, you know, revolves around me and I. And it's good to remember sometimes that we are part of something way bigger than perhaps we sometimes understand. We are part of something that God started, well, from eternity, revealed it a little bit more in the garden with Adam and Eve, continued to work with it through the wilderness of God's people until they found their promised land, was continuing to work while they were in exile and then returned, waiting for the Messiah. Definitely worked it amongst the time of Christ on earth and then his resurrection, all the way through the book of Acts and everything we've seen throughout history. And now today, we dwell and live in a time that God continues to work something that he began way before us. We have the honor to be part of that. God continues to build a foundation, has established a foundation that we, the church today, are called to hold and maintain. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, because I think it's really important that we remember that God is working something from eternity, but today it's our responsibility to take it and do what we have to do in order to honor the very thing that God has begun. Now we know God is faithful. God is faithful. And if we look to him and we turn to him, then everything that is required for us to take hold of the very foundation that he's established, that he's going to continue to work what he needs to work through us and for his glory. Last week we heard a beautiful testimony of one man that God worked in, as he has worked in all of you who have come to know him in the same way, because it's a work of faith. Who can explain the work of faith? Who can explain that? Which human words can clarify and really explain what faith does in a man and a woman and a young person? How does faith get defined? Well, the Bible tries to do this for us. It talks about faith as the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews 11 and the evidence of things not seen. It tries to do that for us a little bit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have hope in something. We have hope that something will happen. We have hope that something will be overcome. We have hope that we'll be able to conquer and break the chains of things in our life. And so faith becomes the substance of things hoped for. And it becomes the evidence of things not seen. How do we explain that? How do we get to the detail of that? Well, last week's testimony was one example of that. How does a man who is so bound by his addiction be set free? How do you and I, how do we who find ourselves sometimes lost and deceived and wrapped up and caught up in all kinds of things in this world that aren't helpful, how do we find ourselves free from these things so that we are being the people that God has called us to be? Well, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And so when we talk about creation and we think about the world before it was birthed, and we think about the Bible describing it as dark and void and the Spirit of God hovering over it, and all of a sudden God speaking into existence this world, how do you explain it? How do you explain creation? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And just as much as faith becomes the substance of understanding the very creation of this world, listen carefully, it's the same faith that begins to help us understand the very new creation of our lives. Aren't we a new creation in Christ? All the old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. And so now today we live in the new creation. We live in a world today where God has called us out of darkness into his light. And the same faith says to us that God has called us from this darkness, just like the world was void and dark, and God spoke creation into existence. God has called us out of a place of darkness and has spoken new creation into our life. And this becomes the faith, the substance of the things that we hope for. How do we explain that? What's faith? God is doing a work because it's his work. God has started a work because it's his work. We become the beneficiaries of this. And boy, doesn't that humble us? Doesn't it humble us to think that God has honored us enough to be part of a work that he began from eternity, he'll continue into eternity, and we have this privilege in this year to be part of that today through the very breath of life he's given us. I can't imagine a life where every day I don't wake up determined to live as Christ has called me to live. I can't imagine a life like that. Through the honor that God has given me, through the knowledge of his Son. God is faithful. God is faithful. And so many, many years ago, God started a work that we know. And God is faithful to have started a work even in this church some 38 years ago. And if I look around the room, I probably am trying to work out who would be the longest person in this fellowship. And I think it might be Ray and Helen over there. I think it might be, if you don't know Ray and Helen. But in that time, God has laid a foundation that we today have the honor to keep building. I don't know about you, but if you ever built a house or if you built something or you know about building or some kind, it'd be right for me to say that no one builds a foundation expecting or wanting it to fail. Would that be right? Like, I don't think you would do that. Like, I don't think you would say to yourself, I'm going to build a foundation because I want this to fail in five years from now. I don't think that kind of makes sense. Those of you familiar with the Pisa Tower, yeah, the Tower of Pisa, would know that when it was built, it wasn't meant to be on a slant. It was never meant to be on a slant. But it was built 1173, and it was tilted by the second century, the shallow foundation, the undersoil that was unstable, meant it shifted. And for centuries now, they've had to work really hard to make sure that that's where it stays. Because when something's off, it's off. You can see it. And while people use it today as a bit of an icon and they use it to their advantage now and they make it a bit of a thing now, it was never meant to be like that. Something went wrong. And that's a visual representation of a foundation that's gone wrong. No one builds a foundation for it to fail. When the Lord started his work in this fellowship back in, I think, about 1987, the Lord built a foundation here so that we, his people, would continue to build something knowing that it's never in vain because the Lord built. The Bible says that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not just talking about this fellowship. I'm talking about just about life. But what I know, when God builds something, that's when the people don't labor in vain. But any time we try and take things into our own hands and find ourselves that we become the center of things and that we think that we are the capable ones, then the Bible reminds us and warns us that unless the Lord builds, you are laboring in vain. This is a beautiful, beautiful reminder and warning about everything in life. You don't want to build your life and find yourself moving from the foundation that God has started to build your own foundations, because what you'll end up doing is you'll be laboring and working in vain. And then if the Lord doesn't watch, if the Lord doesn't guard the city, you can stay up all that you want to stay up and try and guard, but you'll be guarding in vain. And so the Lord starts something so that we then take hold of the work he's begun in order to maintain and build the foundation that is his, not ours. When you heard last week about our brother George's testimony, who God worked and moved and spoke into his life salvation so that he could be used by God to start what we now know as All Nations Christian Fellowship. Well, that was the beginning of God's work, not the only part of God's work. So that today we could do God's work faithfully. I know we who preach have a responsibility. I understand that. We who preach and teach have a responsibility to maintain a strong foundation. But can I remind us all that we all have a responsibility to keep a foundation that is strong, both in our own lives and in the fellowship itself. Let's read Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 24. This is the words of Jesus after what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount. And as he gets to the end of that sermon or that message that he shares with them, and everything that he's told them and all the words he's described and explained to them, he wraps it up and he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock." Great story. This is the life we're called to, whether individually or as a church. We're called to build on the rock. And it's got nothing to do with the strength of the rock more than the person who is absolutely committed to obeying the word of God. That's the strength of the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, he says, and does not do them. And brothers and sisters, these aren't people who, I don't know if you agree or disagree with me, but these aren't people who don't know God's word out there, have no idea, who think they know God's word, but have no idea because they've never really understood and read God's word. But can I suggest it's to us? It's us. We hear and know God's word, don't we? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. It's so clear, isn't it? It's so clear that if we are called to continue to build the foundation that God has given us, if we're called to stand upon this foundation, we're called in life to be have a foundation that is strong, that God started from eternity. And we're also called to be a people who hear the word of God and think, that's what it says, that's what I'm going to do about it every day of my life. I can't imagine a life where I don't live thinking to myself, today is a day that I'm determined to do the will of God. And I think for any of us who have the Spirit of God, there is something in us that stirs in us that feels the same way. And Jesus, in his love for us and his care for us, reminds us of how important it is to make sure that our lives hear and do in everything, in every way, in every action, every reaction, every interaction, we're doing the will of God. Paul says it in a nice way in Timothy. He says, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's simple. God knows who are his. I'm not in the job and the business to say, you're a Christian, you're not a Christian, that person, well, I'm not sure. That's not my job. I don't look around the church trying to work out who is a Christian. I just say the Lord knows who are his. That's what Paul tells me. You can hide from me. Probably not that hard to hide from me, actually. But it's God who sees the heart. And so he says, the Lord knows who are his, but let everyone who names the name of Christ then flee, get away, move away from sin. In other words, walk towards the holiness of God. That's the call. That's the foundation we started. And I've learned over the years, because though it started in about 1987, I was part of the fellowship from about 1988. And I've learned over the years that we've had to depend on the Lord's wisdom, direction, protection, resources, all those years, in order to build a foundation that we have today. When someone said to me back in 1988, come along to church, it's in a bungalow, the back of someone's house. That was a different experience for me. But what I do know is when I walked into that place as a young teenage boy, interested, curious, open to hear, that was like, bang. The love of God and the reality of God blew my mind away. To the point where it was not hard for me that night to give my heart to Jesus, and from then never look back. Boy, we've had to travel a bit as a church, haven't we? Those who've been around with us for a while. I think I was trying to think about this, and I probably have messed this up somehow. But we've had a couple of primary schools. We've had a scout hall. We have a couple of outdoor swim centers. Not outdoor, we were inside. A table tennis club. Moved around until God, in his faithfulness, provided this place. While all along we were using the back. We've had people come in those nearly 40 years who've tried to influence and change us. We've had people come in who have stirred. We've had people come in and stay and then decide to leave. But God has been faithful in all that time. He's built a foundation that has been strong. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with that foundation today? The Bible says to us in Psalms that if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Think about that for a moment. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I'm always interested in this verse because is it saying one of two things? Is it saying if the foundations get destroyed, what are the righteous going to do? Meaning, what are you going to do about it? Righteous people? Or is it saying if the foundations get destroyed, what are they going to do? Because their own foundations have been destroyed. What are they going to stand on? It could be either one. But what is interesting about this verse is that it's highlighting how important it is to have your foundation strong. Because if it is destroyed, there needs a response to that. Because you don't want to see the foundation destroyed. We all have a responsibility to maintain that foundation God has called us to in life and as Christians, wherever you go and whatever you do. We especially have a responsibility as a church, if you're part of this fellowship, to maintain it as God started it. I'm going to share with you some verses. Now, at the risk of being controversial here, meaning there are probably going to be some in the church that are going to think, no, there's something else. I want to share with you two or three verses that I think help shapes us as a church, that has helped shape us as a church over the years, the very fellowship that you are part of. You ready? Now, there are going to be some amongst us that probably think, oh, like, can I add that verse? Can I add that verse? Can I add that? And that's, yeah, there's, the Bible's, there's a lot of verses. But here are some that I think has helped shape who we are as Christians who fellowship together. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You don't need to turn to this. I'm going to read them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Because this is the very calling of Christians, isn't it? This is the very essence of who we are. We present ourselves a living sacrifice because our life no longer becomes our own. We don't try and reclaim our lives and say, I'm done being a living sacrifice. I want to now be just living. That's not who we are as Christians, and it's certainly not who we are as a church. We're called to lay our lives on the altar and say, Lord, what is it that you'd have me to do? Every day. What are you calling me to do with my friends and my family and my children? My loved ones, what are you calling me to do in my workplace? What are you calling me to do? I am a living sacrifice. And I don't want to be conformed to this world because I want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't want to start slipping into a place where I'm looking more and more like this world and all its ways and less like the holiness of Christ. That would be a disaster if I'm going to keep a foundation that's strong. So I think that verse has helped shape us as a church, because that's the essence of God. John 8:36, that if the Son makes you are free indeed. That if Jesus makes us free, then we are indeed free. We are able to say before the Lord, Lord, if you have made me free through the blood and the sacrifice and the spirit you've given me, I don't need to go back and live by the things that used to bind and afflict me, that I have a choice in. Now, there are things in life where we don't have choices in. But I don't need to do that, because if the Son has set me free, then I am indeed free. This is the good news, the gospel. The gospel isn't, come, I'll bring you out of darkness and bondage, only for you to be bound again and remain in bondage. That's not the good news. The good news is, be free. Live in the freedom of Christ, which is the freedom from sin. I think that verse has helped shape us. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, or the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that's true. Every day is a life that I'm crucified with Christ. Every day is a life where I say, Lord, it's not me who live, but you live in me. What is it that you have me to do? How can I be your hands and feet and words and mouth? How is it that when I interact with people, or what they will see when they walk away is something of who you are? They don't see a grumpy old man that gets irritated by people and finds it hard to forgive with a chip on his shoulder. Because it's Christ who lives in me. By my strength? Not at all. But by the Spirit of God who dwells in me. And the walk of faith in humility. And perhaps the shortest verse that probably shapes us the most, well, it's part of a verse, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. I tell you the truth, if we, the church, the fellowship, the individual, the Christian, were not absolutely committed to this, I think we would have had multiple divisions in this church. Multiple. But love never fails. And when we walk in the love of Christ, because we are committed not to selfishness, but an absolute life of selflessness, and we walk in the love of Christ, then love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't boast. Love's not self-seeking. Love hopes all things, believes all things, because love never fails. And so this has become the glue that's called the cause, the foundation to stick. You're part of that. We're part of that. We maintain that. So we give honor where honor is due, absolutely, to those that God used to help start this fellowship. But we always give glory to God. So I want to kind of bring this together. I want to finish this. I want to share with you just briefly the things we've got to do to keep this foundation strong. We have to do this. We all have to do this. And if we're going to keep this foundation strong, each one of us who are serious about our faith have to guard ourselves against any type of complacency that will unglue, unstick this foundation. A little bit of complacency is the same as a lot of complacency, yeah? Let's not be fooled by that. Let's not be tricked by that. Just a little bit of complacency is exactly the same as a lot of complacency. It's the same with compromise. We want to compromise a little bit today. It's the same as compromising a lot. We just don't compromise the truth. If we don't want to love anymore because we find it's easier to not love, then we crumble the foundation. If we want to stop forgiving and being merciful and compassionate, then we compromise that foundation. And the rain will come, and the floods will come, and great will be the fall. And I'm not interested in how much you guys stay away from the world. I don't think that's our guide. That's not our benchmark, how much we can stay away from the world. Because the world's going to change. It'll go like this all the time. I'm not encouraging you guys to stay away from the world. I'm just saying stay close to Christ. Just stay close to Christ. Just because by doing that, you're going to stay away from the things of the world that are not good for us. There's a lot of good things in this world, a lot of beautiful things in this world to celebrate and enjoy. But the stuff that we want to stay away from, just stay close to Christ. And we keep a strong foundation. We don't want to live outside the world. We want to stay close to Christ. So brothers and sisters, we have to be absolutely serious about what God has called us to do. We're part of something that's way bigger than me, you. We're part of something that's way bigger than ANCF. We're part of something that's way bigger than this generation. We're part of a God who started something from eternity. And today our prayer is, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You hear people say things like, and don't get me wrong, these aren't bad things. They're not bad things. But when people say things like, I go to this church, or this is my church. I attend such and such a church. They're not bad things, but it helps us, it gives us a bit of an idea, a context to where that person's from. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's not, I go to this church. When we're talking about being part of something bigger, we're part of something that God has started. And yes, through this fellowship, we serve the King. We're part of his kingdom. We're building his kingdom. Yes, through this fellowship, it's way bigger than I go to here or I go to there. It's not about where I'm a member of. It's my service to the King that continues to build our foundation. It's my service to the King that presents my life a living sacrifice, that sees me set free, that has me crucified with Christ, and helps me with a love that never fails. That's the foundation. And unless we are absolutely committed to that, then I don't know how a foundation can stay, can last in our own lives and in the life of the church. Any other foundation we build, it's not a case of it might be risky. If you dare to believe the scriptures, what I'm saying is it is absolutely risky if we try and build any other foundation. It will crumble, it will fall, and great will be its fall. But the foundation that God has started and that we are now a privilege to be part of, not just in this fellowship, but around the world, a foundation that he began, that we are honored to be part of, we've got to keep that. We need to keep that foundation. We need to be a people who are absolutely committed to it. And what we'll see is then the ability for us to continue to be a light to everyone else that comes in. God has given us a privilege as a church to be a light to this world, a light to the unbeliever. And interestingly, what I see is he's given us the privilege to be hope even to many people who have some kind of faith, in order to hope in the truths of God's word. We've got to keep that foundation in order to be that light. What do we do with it? Well, it starts today. One more day is like many more days. We start today. We ready? Do we want it? Let's pray. Let's find ourselves as we come before the presence of the Lord this morning, as we come with honest and open hearts to him this morning. One of the absolute privileges we have is to be able to say to him this morning, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have called me to a foundation that is unshakable, immovable, that is eternal, that by the very words of Christ will not collapse. There's got to be a place in our heart this morning that we find ourselves thanking him for this. And all the foundations of this world, and all the foundations of this world that are going to crumble and be destroyed, God has brought us upon a foundation that is strong and sure and secure. He lays that cornerstone, and that cornerstone is sure and secure. And while we're thanking him this morning for this, there may be among us people who have compromised this foundation, who have become complacent with this foundation. And it's a call for us this morning to be restored and renewed, to be people who understand the significance and the importance of this foundation that we are entrusted with, that we want to continue to build both inwardly and through the things we do. So I urge you this morning, brothers and sisters, to make it your daily commitment, your absolute determination by faith and through humility to build on the foundation that God has started, to be part of the work that God has begun, and that no force of hell can stop. This is the Lord's foundation. We're going to join in song together and we'll close in prayer. Indeed, Father in heaven, you deserve the glory for all the work that you've begun, the work you are doing, and the work you will continue to do, Lord. We trust in you. Guide us and lead us by the power of your Spirit, your goodness, and your grace. We look to you for strength. We look to you for guidance. We look to you for hope and protection in the days, months, and years ahead, that we would build the foundation or continue to build and keep the foundation that you have started. In Jesus' name, amen.